Awesome. Well, I'm got me set.
I was like, go to Vancouver. It's beautiful. Would move back in a heartbeat.
All right. Do we want to actually get started?
No, I don't think so. I think we're just
talk about Wyoming for a while.
All right, we'll just talk about Wyoming for a while. This will be great
because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, it's just a big square.
What about Maverick?
We do love Maverick.
That is the only fucking place you get anything in Wyoming is from a goddamn Maverick gas station. You need beer? There's beer.
I bought oil at a Maverick one time. That shit was so fucking expensive, dude. Don't buy oil at Maverick.
Guess what? It did what it needed to do.
It was good. Don't buy oil at Maverick. It's expensive as fuck.
You don't buy anything at Maverick. You
want
you
weird
spend,
candy? Go to Maverick. You
spend money on Maverick is what you do.
Yeah, you do. You need gas, Maverick. If you want an icy, Maverick.
Yeah, you invest in that
also,
Maverick.
Do you want hot dogs? Maverick.
Pizza? Enchiladas?
The bonfire breakfast burritos is the only thing that I fuck with that's a Maverick.
Again, Maverick.
A
Red Bull? Do you get a Red Bull?
No, bro, I go to fucking Walmart because at Maverick they're fucking $3.99 for a 12-ounce.
Yeah, okay,
Walmart,
but you could.
I'm not gonna. I work in the Walmart, bro. It's $2.50. I get two of them bitches.
But think about this. But think about this. Every time you drive by that Maverick, don't you think, man, I need to go in there? Every time.
No, not every time.
If I've had a few beers,
I have to go to Maverick.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, that's what Maverick does.
Okay, that's but what it's they no do. Different than a fucking 7-Eleven, dude.
Okay.
There's something about the Maverick.
There's
just,
something about the Maverick.
There's
you live in Wyoming, you only go to Maverick.
You don't get gas.
You don't get gas at the Maverick because God forbid you go get
dead
gas.
Dead ass. I went into the Conoco the other day.
But sometimes
only
you do.
Because my homie Alex works there. I didn't even buy anything. I just stood at the counter and waited for him to notice me. And honestly, I love my mans, but he's got to be bad at his job. It took him way too long to see that I was at the counter.
Tell ya.
Oh, that is going to be a clip in itself. Just the Maverick talk. Mavericks in Wyoming. I don't know what it is. You're from this state. Every time you see a goddamn Maverick, you just got to be like, I got to go in there. I don't know why.
I got to go get candy or something.
I can get gas. I know it's not going to be good, but I'll get better gas next time, you know?
No, the gas is mid. I put premium from Maverick in my fucking bike.
Maverick.
But if I go to, like, Good to Go, you already know I hit it with the mid-grade. It's the same gas.
But it's Maverick, though. Like,
but
it's
Maverick.
Right there. It's right there. Good to Go is like, oh.
They have their own branded, like,
you gotta go to Maverick.
If
you're on your way to Billings or if you're on your way to the fucking park, Yellowstone Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time you hit Good to
Go.
That's it.
But you can also go to Maverick. That's the thing. For me, I go to Good to Go because when I leave town, I have to go buy the Good to Go. And it's I only go to the Good to Go when I'm leaving Cody because technically I live that far out from Cody that I am leaving Cody. I live closer to Dubois.
The whole trademark with Maverick is also Adventure's First Stop. So I think that legally, if you're going to go to Yellowstone, you have to go by Maverick.
Legally.
Anytime you're going on an adventure, you go to Maverick.
Maverick.
You go hunting, you go to Maverick. Why? Who fucking knows? But you go to Maverick.
Because we live here.
You're going to fill up the dirt bikes, bro. You go to Maverick.
Okay, because...
I've never
right,
not...
But where else?
Actually, I
where
ran
else
out of gas.
Are y'all
going to
see... Okay, go. but where else are y'all going to see, like, the Utah Navy, where it's a truck, a boat, and, like, another trailer hooked up all to the same vehicle. Like, Maverick.
Uh-huh. I hate to say it, but
she's got to be good to go that goes out to Billings usually has some fucking wild bullshit in the parking lot.
I once saw like at our local Maverick, I once saw like a bus that had like a, you know, somebody had purchased a bus. It was a bus and then a boat and then a trailer hooked up to it. And I was like, y'all, what in the Utah Navy is happening here?
Yep,
does that classify as a Big Mac truck at that point?
Nope. They don't have to have a CDL to drive that thing. That is a bus, a boat, and another car.
He said, that ain't fucking shit, son.
They really said, like, y'all in Wyoming don't know shit. Watch this.
Yeah. It's like when I'm driving behind somebody. It's like they got their big ass dually truck, their fucking motorhome, and then the Jeep on the back. I'll pull up next to the Jeep and I'll take a gnarly ass Snapchat video and be like, who the fuck is driving this thing? It does numbers, I tell you what. It does numbers. That does numbers on Snapchat Premium, dude.
Thank you, Corey.
People pay numbers for that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
They don't. Right. Well, that's a lie.
Wild.
Hello,
this is
everyone.
A great reminiscence of me not being home in Wyoming for a couple
time
years.
Time to intro the podcast.
Welcome to Coffee Table Talk with our, as you can see, very... We're talking about Maverick.
IBB, we're talking about Maverick, y'all.
IBB she's the CEO of the Crit Awards.
That's me.
And we were having some fun banter in the beginning. Probably a lot of that's going to get cut to a certain point because that's a lot in the beginning. But we'll figure it out. We'll play it. I might make some fun clips from it.
Who knows?
It's just me going off about the Utah Navy.
And Maverick.
Everyone's
going to
be like, because like there's so few people like in this space from Wyoming. It's like the few select people who know, and everybody else will be like, I have no idea what's happening right now.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell Toast is from Portland. You know, he's used to the 7-Eleven. You know, when you see a 7-Eleven, you got to go to it.
It's the same thing.
I've never
not entered a 7-Eleven.
Okay, that's like us. We've never not entered a Maverick because that's our 7-Eleven. That is
gotta get it done where it's gotta get done, bro.
Uh-huh. And you were slowly being converted.
I don't think I've seen a 7-Eleven in Wyoming. I got Maverick rewards. I'm out here.
You fall into the trap. That's how they get you, dude.
I honestly don't think it does anything. I put my phone number in for so many things. I never got like money off or like.
It doesn't. It's not supposed to do anything. It's just the prestige of having the Maverick rewards card. That's like your Wyoming membership. It's like, oh, you're from Wyoming. Prove it.
I put my phone number in every time. I don't know where my card went.
I have half of a card. I wish I could bring this. I have just the scanner part of my Maverick premium card.
You have the chip to the Maverick card?
I just have the little bar to scan. I have half of a Maverick card, but I still have a Maverick card in my wallet. All times.
This is
how does that happen?
All right. Anyways.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
D&D wise, let's get off the Maverick here.
I can't get the next game. You said you have the next half of a gift card in your fucking pocket at all times, and I'm curious to know what that means.
Have you guys ever looked at the what is it called? Have you guys ever looked at the TTRPG Cracker Barrel Has Fallen?
I actually have.
Okay, but imagine that, but it's a Maverick. Okay, like hear me out. We switch it up. Okay.
I'm lost.
We'll bring it back to
I'm
TTRPGs.
Lost.
So it's a TTRPG where it's like, it's a zombie apocalypse. Essentially, like it's an apocalyptic game. It's not. It's Waffle House Has Fallen, isn't it?
Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was Cracker Barrel or Waffle House.
Hold on.
I feel like you could easily swap to either or.
It doesn't matter the franchise. It doesn't matter the franchise. But what it is.
Yeah. So
it is
Waffle House.
It is Waffle House. Okay.
It is. I was incorrect, so I apologize to the creators. Let's see. I'm going to double check. But no, it is Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel has fallen. But you're in a Waffle House. That's the whole thing. That's why I was thinking Waffle House. But yeah, essentially what it is a very short, sweet, apocalyptic game where you are stuck inside of a Waffle House. And the zombie apocalypse is happening. And so Cracker Barrel was the other building that has now since fallen in the zombie apocalypse. And you have to defend against it. It's very fun. It's just a very simple TTRPG that it's just great. So if you're ever interested in like a little two-page TTRPG that's kind of wild and a little fun, it's by Oops All Smurf on Itch, which is great. It was made like in 2023. They're wonderful. They did all of the money for it went to Trans Lifeline. So it's like 3 to 5 players. And it's like an hour and a half, 3 hours long, depending. It's 2 pages, and that's it. It's just Cracker Barrel has fallen, and you're in a Waffle House. But hear me out. We change it to Maverick.
Yes. How about this?
When are they making the prequel?
We invite you on to do Maverick Has Fallen, and we're in a 7-Eleven.
I'll do it. Oh, my God. That would be so funny.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Locationally, though, it doesn't really make sense.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to make sense.
Hear me out. If you're in a zombie apocalypse, what better place to be than Wyoming? 100%. It is 50th in population, 9th in landmass. You don't have to worry about like the majority of people like you do like LA or New York or anything like that. And you have so much room. And also, do you think any of those zombies are one of the like gonna defend themselves against buffalo in Yellowstone? Absolutely not.
Like, or a 12-gauge shotgun that we just pulled off of our horse.
That too. Like we've got horses. We've got
Wyoming with a firearm.
We'll have our own little nation. It'll just be Wyoming. So like, could be good. Could be great.
Makes sense. When Wyoming falls, the world is fucked.
That's why we have Yellowstone, because like if it ever blows up.
Wyoming has fallen.
Wyoming has fallen. Oh, that's funny. I like that we are the nuke. Like, that's funny and also very concerning. In a zombie apocalypse, everyone's just like, you know what? Actually, we'll just do it ourselves. Blow it up.
Wyoming has Last the of us who? Second biggest armory for nuclear weapons on their military bases. So, if they were to throw a nuke at us, they would end the whole entire world.
They would catch 7 right back.
No, they wouldn't catch nothing. They would catch the clouds of volcanic ash after detonating a nuke on top of an active volcano.
Game is game.
Game is game. GG.
That's like in, oh my God. It's like in like Red Dead or Oblivion, when you kill someone and they kill you at the exact same fucking time. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even be mad, because it's skill-based matchmaking at that point. You were so good, and they were also so good that you... He can't miss.
But he did fuck up.
This is a great way to start off this podcast.
Everybody,
I'm gonna be honest.
This is a great way.
We're fucking 25 in, and we haven't even talked about Dungeons and Dragons. I've never even played that.
I brought it back to TTRPGs.
She did.
I'm an expert at this.
Hold on. Here.
I'm a pro.
Hold on. I think I just used 100% of my brain. Does TTRPG tabletop role-playing game? Is that what that is?
Yes.
I'm a fucking genius!
You're so smart. I'm so proud of you.
100% of my fucking brain power, dude. The first, like, 97% of that conversation, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And now I'm here in the moment.
Can you tell he's a new player? Can you tell that he's new to this?
I don't know. I just fucking work here, bro. I don't know.
I say that all the time, and I run an award show based on TTRPGs.
Let's give me 4 seconds. This will probably also be cut. I got an email from the sticker company today, Cam. They placed that fucking order without me telling them to.
Which company are you using?
Yeah.
Are you doing? It was individual stickers.
Yeah, we're just doing. We were just trying to do a small test order.
I was just trying to do a small test order, and when I proofed it, because we want circular stickers with our logo and the QR code to the podcast, or is it the link tree now?
It's the link tree. Because okay, the Linktree sure. so has all of our links.
Put on there was the Linktree. So it's the Linktree QR code and our logo on there. And when I proofed it, it wasn't a circular sticker. It was like a cutout lineup of the logo with the QR in the box. And it's not what I wanted. Yeah, it's not what I wanted. And I couldn't change it or anything like that. I don't even know. It was ridiculous.
Which company did you say you're using?
Sticker Invasion.
I've never used them for anything.
There's probably a reason for that.
I don't even recognize the name. That's why I was like...
Yeah. Do you have a recommended sticker company?
I can get you guys a couple.
That would be much appreciated.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they probably did a die cut is what they did for y'all.
Yeah.
What is the cost of their stickers? Oh, the cost isn't bad. Have you guys looked at Canva yet? I don't know where you do a lot of your building of the materials, but Canva also has printers that they can print things. I can tell you exactly what they are right now. Let's see. Because Canva is where I use what I use for all of our social media assets, but they also do stickers. That's where
I just thought they did social media assets. I didn't actually know they did stickers.
They do. They have printing company as well. Actually, I can show you. I have business cards.
This is Canva, Canvas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they also do business cards and stuff like that. So that's what I've used for a bunch of these ones for Crit Award stuff.
Oh, so awesome! Nice.
So and they're normally pretty affordable. And so, I don't know how much you're looking to spend, but yeah, they're pretty affordable as well. So you guys were looking at doing, how many were you looking at ordering?
At the beginning, we were just wanted to do a test of 10, and then we were going to bump up. And then we were going to hit 50 for our bigger outreach.
So it looks like Canva is actually comparable to Sticker Invasion. And 12 stickers for them is $14. If you were to do 100 of them, it would be 46 or sorry, 96 is $44, which is comparable to their 46. So Canva is a great place, and it gives you a little more customizing capability, since it's that's what they're there for, is for social media assets, right, as well. So and a lot of their stuff has free delivery, so you don't have to worry about shipping.
Ooh, good to know. Well,
a lot of my bill when I got the markup for Sticker Invasion was shipping. It was half the fucking payment was shipping for them. So
we love Canva in this house. So
all right, if you can, very recommended. We will definitely look at that. Into your Crit Awards.
Yeah.
What made you create Crit Awards?
Yes, I'm happy to talk about it. So, Crit Awards, which stands for Creator Recognition in TTRPGs, or Tabletop Role-Playing Games, started in 2023 when the OGL happened. And it was in response to seeing Kobold Press and a bunch of independent creators about to have to figure out what to do when the new rule guide came out and those new guidelines for how our content was created. And in response, watching Kobold Press and a bunch of those creators come up with their own systems. And so I was sitting at lunch with Dice Cream Sandwich, Kevin, who's a very good friend of mine, as I was sitting across from him and said, man, I really wish that there was somebody who would recognize that all of these companies are doing or all of these independent creators are doing this, where they're making their own products instead. And Kevin, knowing me very well and knowing I've been a professional DM for a while, as well as going to cons and being a marketing person and stuff, put his chopsticks down for his ramen noodles and just looked at me. And I was like, oh, it's me, isn't it? And he went, yeah. And then I hyper-focused because let's just
ADHD!
We love a neurodivergent focus. And so I hyper-focused and had all of the forms, the like format, the way that we were going to operate done in the first 2 weeks. And then we launched. And I did it mostly myself the first year with help from one or two other people and largely on my own. We launched to Gen Con in 2023 to a sold out audience, and it was phenomenal. The community was great. And it's only continued since then. So last year, like, our viewership on Twitch peaked at 500, but we held at 3. And so we just closed nominations for this year yesterday. At midnight, actually. And we ended with 3,100 nominations. That's not individual categories. That's just unique people. So 3,100 people. So yeah, so that's how that happened. That's where we're at. And now I have a small team that's working very diligently to make sure we count every single vote by hand, because everything that we do is write-ins. So while we have 50 categories, none of that is automated. All of your nominations come in directly to our team, and then we assign categories. And if there's a conflict of interest, we pass it off to another team member. And then we go through every single one, and we make sure that they are both eligible for dates, that they follow our code of conduct and criteria of what we look at, of is this diverse? Is this new? Is this unique? Is it accessible for people to look at? And then we go off of that, and we count every single one.
Whoa. Whoa, that is fucking awesome.
It's a lot of work, but yeah,
you do an amazing thing, and that is so many unique votes. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is, it's crazy. About what we hit last year, but we had our nominations open for 2 months, and this year we hit it in a month. We only left them open for a month, so we still hit the same number, which is incredible. We're very grateful. So yeah,
goodness.
And we'll look this month through all of them, and then we'll come up with our finalists, and then our finalists will be announced in June. So
that's awesome.
That is awesome. That is truly awesome. Yeah. I do hope one day us on Coffee and D&D are able to at least show up maybe high on that list. It's a goal.
We have podcasting categories, and I will say we were very excited to see that some of our podcasting categories overtook some of our TTRPG categories in terms of like nominations. So it is showing a huge influx in people that are moving to the podcasting space, which we're very excited about, because that gives really unique and cool opportunity for one more like audio editing and soundtracks and things like that. So I'm watching it kind of turn a little from like Twitch and YouTube streaming to some more podcast stuff, which I'm excited about. Yeah.
That's crazy. That is actually crazy. Just blew my mind. I'm sorry, just blew my mind. It is a lot of numbers. So one of the goals at that I'm trying to reach out for us at Coffee and D&D is I'm trying to build a slow community. It's taking some time, but I want to build a giant community of D&D podcasters.
Yeah.
With all of their own, how they DM, the stories they're telling. I want to just build a giant community, and where we all help each other raise up and be not one of us be the next Critical Role or this or that, but one of us helps all of us be a giant community of very great podcasts that are being shared to everyone. I've started this slow. I've met tons of podcasters, tons of D&D creators, and you being one of them, which I am very grateful to know, because you are very helpful. You are very helpful.
Good, that's my whole job.
I'm just loving my dog right now. His name is
Baby, old baby. Yeah, that is kind of my whole thing is, what can I do?
Right. And it's so exciting to see I'm slowly building this community, and it's awesome. I've met some really great people. I'm excited to meet even more great people as we keep this growing. And okay, talking DM wise.
Yeah.
Because you had mentioned it. When did you start When did you first get into D&D? And then when did you get into DMing?
Great. So when I first started, so there's never been a moment in my life where I have not been a nerd. That's just how it is. I cannot remember a time in my life where I wasn't, because I grew up with a father who introduced me to a lot of strong female characters in the nerd space very early on, where it was cool. I was watching Star Trek and Wonder Woman and Buck Rogers in the 21st century and, you know, all of these very, like, I'm a huge Trekkie. And so I'm big into comics. And so I had a lot of strong female role models growing up as well. And so I was never not a nerd. I went to my first convention when I was 16, and have continued that trend ever since. And now I perform at them, which is a wild thing. But when I first started DMing, when I first started like playing D&D, it was actually with a very, very terrible ex-boyfriend, like my very first boyfriend. And it was terrible. I mean, he was just a miserable human being, which is unfortunate, but that's what it was. And so in a stout of being like, you know what, this is something very important to me in my life that I'm not going to let somebody tarnish by it being terrible just because they were involved. And so I was like, you know what, I'll just do it myself. And so my actual first full-time like DMing a group of people, this shocks everybody, but like my first time DMing a group of people was, it was 12 guys that had never played D&D before. And I taught every single one how to build a character. I sat down with every single one. We did our session zeros, everything else. Full newbie table. And people could be like, well, why didn't you split them up? They were all coworkers. They were all friends. And this was their only time that they outside of work would hang out. And so they would come over to my house. I would cook them all dinner or lunch or whatever else we played. And I would make vegan meals, and like, because there was one vegetarian, and then I would make dinner for everybody else. And we would just play for like 4 or 5 hours. And that's when I started DMing. And then when the pandemic happened, the global panini, I moved virtually and was on stream with Ice Cream Sandwich and Kevin initially, and our group of people. And we played for 2 years. And in that time, I was on a bunch of other streams, and I was DMing on streams or in, you know, one shots or Discord servers as well. And then started doing it more often, and now I'm no longer on that stream, but I still DM and everything else. So professional DM, as well as do marketing and Critical Words and everything else. I do a lot of things. Yeah, I do a lot, but thank you. Yeah,
you go girl. So, you go
thank
girl.
You so much. Yeah. Being a nerd is something that's always been really important to me. And so it was just one of those things where I was like, this seems like a natural progression. I prefer DMing to being a player. There are sometimes I like to play, but I much prefer being a DM. So
I still don't know. I haven't played very much. I still don't know if I prefer being a DM. I might.
It's okay. One of these days we'll get you into a game and then you can go from there. I'll just DM you. We'll find a day.
Yes.
Bring the co-host.
You can play. I don't mind DMing for you all.
Hallelujah.
He is a chaotic demon. Fair warn you. He's my chaos monkey.
So I'm a DM that really loves creative solution. And I love creative ways to come up with things. And so if I present you with a problem, solution. That's fine. Like, I also love giving creative consequences. So give me a reason, because
something.
It'll be something like you'll either regret the decision or you'll learn to regret the decision.
Please knows the decisions he makes.
But yeah,
dude, I do, and I love what it is. It doesn't even matter.
That's how I play. But I love the consequential. I'm like, do what you want. I want you to succeed, but if you fuck up, I'm going to hurt you.
My current party that I DM on stream is a group of wonderful individuals and phenomenal actors and players. And they have been asking me, they're like, when are the consequences coming? And I'm like, oh, they're coming. Don't worry. And they're starting to see the fallout of that, because it's really interesting to see that a couple of them having lost characters along the way of whether died in combat or just needed to switch out a character. And they are now dealing with the other party members' problems, because they have come up in the world again in a different way. And now it's a cool, is this new character of yours going to deal with the consequences that you yourself previously played, that you have set this up for yourselves? Are they heroes, or are they going to say screw you? And so it's been very interesting to watch my players get to figure out like the new dynamic of this character, knowing fully well that they are the consequences of this other action. So I have good players. I'm very lucky, but I love a horrible consequence, and they're coming.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm just new enough to D&D that I haven't had to put a new character into a campaign that I've already been playing in. Mm-hmm. My first two sessions, and this is the only D&D experience I have before Cam and the podcast. Mm-hmm. I was working at a McDonald's. And a coworker of mine was super into D&D, and there was another guy who worked a shift that I wasn't on who was super into D&D. And me and my fiance, we got into a little campaign, the three of us, and then our other friend who was DMing. And I had fun, you know what I mean? Like, he was a very... creative and dynamic DM. But I stand by the fact that I don't think that I could have had a better intro to Dungeons and Dragons than Cam being my dungeon master. The way that he does stuff, it's so much fun to see him, because he always has his camera on when we're playing, and I really love that, because I get to see the characters in his voice. And I convinced him fairly recently, actually, to make a sound effect. He had a sound effect for crows, and he played it a couple of times. And we were, I don't know if it was before a coffee talk or if it was during a coffee talk or when we were talking. It could have been a meeting or whatever. But I told him that he should make a sound effect with his voice as the crows, because I don't know, I just love when he does sound effects. It's my favorite thing ever. I love Cam's dynamics. I love the way that he brings everything into the story and really like brings everything full circle back around, no matter how far off the beaten path that we go. It always loops back together in a fun way. And I don't know. I've never been diagnosed with anything, but I get very easily distracted. I lose my train of thought when there's long periods of dialogue, and Cam has always managed to bring me back. And I just love that. It's my favorite thing about him as a DM, and it's really brought me into the game as much as it has. I really leave it all to Cam.
Which is a wonderful sign, especially as new players. New players, unfortunately, have a curse of finding terrible first-time TMs. I'm sure that we all see the horrible stories on Reddit. I love new players. And I love new players that have never played like many TTRPGs or very recently have come in, because they are not hindered by like a rule set that we have pre-established. Like us existing players, we're like, oh, well, I can't use Moonbeam in this exact moment because that's not how this works, and that's just not going to work. No, new players will come and be like, I want to do this thing, and it's going to be insane, and I want to find a way to do it. And you as a DM get to use your creative muscles and go, okay, how can we do this where it's going to like, sure, not maybe work the way that they want it to, but we can find a solution where this is still going to be really fun. And I love that. I love new players, especially when they're learning new classes or things like that, because a lot of that, it's like, oh, I want to come in and I want to play a sorcerer. An incredibly difficult class to start off with if that's where you're starting. But like, cool. You're not burdened. You're very unbridled by the rest of like the previous way the players have played. And it's wonderful to see the creativity when it happens.
See, I always ask all of these guys to tell me what you want to do. Even if you think you can't do it, tell me. Mm-hmm. Because if I tell you to roll something, that right there is you getting the okay to, let's try this. I have a consequence if you fail, but give it a shot. I want to see you succeed.
Say no. Like, yeah. If it's like, oh, actually, like, this is an impossible thing that you cannot do, you can say no. It's okay. Like, us as DMs have a hard time with that on occasion where we're like, oh, but like, sometimes we have to just say no. But on the majority of the time, Okay, cool. Roll for it and let's find a solution of how to... it's a good sign of a wonderful DM. If you can be like, cool, roll for it, and then we'll come up with a solution instead of just saying straight up no. So, I love two players. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun. My other... So, I have two hunters. This is one of them. I have another one. Mm-hmm. He's new as well. And he comes up with some of the most creative... Like, he's playing a rogue. He comes up with some very creative ways to catch me off guard. And I'm like, shit, you know, I didn't think about that. And he's really good about describing what he wants to do and how he wants it to look. That's another thing that I love, because that's showing their imagination really coming into this character.
Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky. I have a player who's very descriptive, who writes TTRPGs herself. And so whenever she, like, whenever I need something from her, where I'm like, cool, tell me, like, what does this look like? She, we lost two characters in a single session. It was mutual assured destruction. It was a beautiful, like, moment of losing these two characters, where her character was being overtaken by Yenogu, the gnoll god. So, like, it was monstrous and horrific, and the way that they died was horrendous. And the other one got a very peaceful death in the end of meeting his deity. And so it was, like, very much two sides of the spectrum. Very peaceful getting to meet this god that had taken him in as, like, a fatherly parental, like, patron. And then this grotesque, horrible thing. And I could ask her, I was like, please describe to me, like, how this looks, as she just goes off. Body horror is her, like, bread and butter, and she was exceptional. And I love that my players just get to sometimes be like, actually, let me just, like, take over the DM seat for a split second and describe this thing. It's very similar in that. Cool, I get to watch their imagination just go wild. Great. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
To watch.
Yeah, it's awesome, because then it's like we're watching our story and we're watching their piece, their POV. That's what I love those moments when it's their POV.
It's like two a players storytelling game is supposed to be collaborative or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when my players talk to each other, because then for me, it's like I get to watch, I get to listen, I get to actually, I'm not like, I'm like, this is great. This is what I want to hear.
I love it. Some of my favorite things.
And one of our last episodes, Toast here got by the other hunter with an insane joke that it was awesome.
Ooh, something for the audience to go listen to.
Yes, yes. It follows it was a very, like, dramatic, like, character to character scene. And then I jumped over to the two hunters, and Rico embarrassed Toast in the middle of the episode.
And I love that.
It was fucking awesome.
I've got two players.
He did make
Oh, something is up. See, it's a little Easter egg. Everybody gets to go find it now. I have two players whose characters argue like siblings, and it's my favorite thing. I have to stop them, otherwise they'll just go. I'm like, okay, guys. I get it. This is hilarious. But we do have a game.
There is a story to tell.
And you two are delaying it. I love them very much. I love their banter. They're very witty, and they argue all the time. It's fantastic. Very, very sibling rivalry.
It's awesome. But yeah, there's some really interesting stuff that happens in that episode. And plus one of my favorite clips, which I think I did post the clip on our Instagram at Coffee and D&D.
Oh, I think you'll look at it then.
I think my last footnote is... I lost it.
You're totally
just like
good.
That. Just like that.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Into the ether.
Yeah.
I hate when my brain
vanish every now and again.
Did you do that?
Doesn't happen very often. I have to keep this mind a steel trap for these guys, but when it does,
it's just that one and done interview.
Oh, yeah.
I stayed in the ether. I never did return.
he had technical difficulty problems and his internet literally dove into the ground.
I just never was able to get back on. I tried like five different times throughout like the hour and a half session that we had planned out.
Those are the worst. One of my players actually just had that. Like we were getting ready for stream. We're all sitting there getting ready and his internet just gave out. And I felt so bad for this poor man because this man was like, okay, well, I was like, don't worry about it. Like, we'll call a session. We could just record like later this week because we had time. So I was like, don't worry about it. I totally understand how that is, whatever. And later on in the evening, we're like, hey, are you okay? Like, I know that you were really frustrated, whatever. And he was like, today is the day, because he left to go get an Ethernet cable. The man drives a motorcycle most of the time. On the way back, his motorcycle battery stopped working. And so his motorcycle stopped working and he had the Ethernet cable and had to come back and he had to push it. And I was like, this poor man. He comes back The Ethernet cable is not long enough.
Oh, no!
He rearranges his whole living room. I was like, and I just sat there. I was like, this poor man. I'm not saying shit. I'm just going to let him have this. Like, you know what?
Oh my god.
Yep.
That really is horrible.
That really is. It was a rough day.
That man was going through it.
And he was. I've also done that in the middle of a podcast. I had one day where I was up super late talking to somebody who needed a friend. So I was up. I didn't go to bed till like 5 in the morning. I had a recording the next day. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? That sucks, but it is what it is. I'll get up. And I slept through 3 alarms and I woke up 30 minutes late after they had already started recording. And they're freaking out because I'm never late to anything, really. I'm very like punctual because I freak out about it. And I'm like, and I didn't communicate. And that was the other thing. They were like, okay, something's happened to Ivy or she's dead somewhere because like nobody's heard from her at all. So I get up. I'm so apologetic. I get on the call, whatever. They're like, are you good? Whatever. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm so sorry. And they were super understanding when I explained. And then we're recording. It's going great. Like, we're doing Monster of the Week, which is a great system. It's really fun. And in the middle of me saying a sentence, my internet dies. My computer blue screens. Everything goes down. And I was like, I'm going to scream, actually, right now. I'm going to actually, in the middle of a sentence, had to pause and get on somebody else's computer. And start from the top of that entire scene, which is not scripted. Like, this was not a scripted podcast. And I was like, I'm gonna cry. Like, it was rough.
Oh my god.
That's nuts.
Yep. I understand.
I fucking hate when the internet does anything like that. Anything.
Yeah.
In the middle of a phone call. Well, I guess I'm not talking to them. Set that down.
Yep.
Toast, do you have anything? Silent man over
there? I think
that's
it, brother. I think that's it, brother.
That's all you got?
I don't have nothing.
Ivy, do you have anything for us? Do you have any questions for us?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, you don't get to play D&D very often, so I can't ask you like what your favorite class is and your
I can tell
D&D.
You.
What's your favorite class? Let's
my favorite
that.
Class? Okay. So I would say this Boulder got playing Boulder's Gate.
Sure.
Boulder's Gate.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
I've played all the
we
classes. And I've spent a lot of time messing with the player's handbook. Bard would have to be my favorite class. And my favorite race would have to be a tiefling.
Shocker.
Shocker? That's a shocker?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah. Second favorite would be elf. But tiefling. And
Fair.
It would have to be an Asmodeus tiefling, too.
Okay. Interesting.
Variant race with wings.
Do you have a subclass that you like best of Bard, or is it just Bard in general?
It would have
overall?
To be... God, God, it would have to be. God, my brain just blanked. It's.
There's Glamour Bard. There's. God, what else? I played a bard recently.
I've never played a bard.
Bard is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I've played a fighter, a paladin, and a barbarian. So
it would have to be the College of Eloquence.
Oh, what a good one.
Because words are their power. So
that's a good one. If you ever want to do like a fun one that I recently played, because we got to do a home game recently where I did a bard rogue, which I always think is a fun mix. I really struggle to play just melee classes. I do not do well with it. I am a spellcaster. A sorcerer is normally what I main, if not cleric. I've played a druid. Like my 2-year campaign was a druid, Circle of Moon. And then normally I like playing sorcerers. But I played a bard rogue and I did College of Whispers bard with Psychic Blade rogue. So if you want like a really fun, wild mix, like that's always a fun one.
another great one would have to be Paladin College of Swords.
That's a good one.
With all the different techniques, along with Divine Smite and being able to have lots of bard high level spells, it leads to good damage and the ability to hasten yourself and have counterspell.
Have you looked at the World Tree Barbarian for the 2024 rule set?
I have. It is nuts.
So my partner actually got to play one in a home game where they were like, I really want to test like this class. They had a lot of fun with it. They thought it was great of being able to yoink people from one place to the other. So it was a fun one. If you want to look at that one to play, it's fun.
It is. I mean, let's see. Damocles is looking to go into something a little more powerful. I know Toast is, we've been talking about something, about a class change at some point.
I'm very interested in the Echo Fighter.
Also good.
But I created this character out of like some Roman folklore. And I don't follow it to like the written Roman folklore. It's based off of a fucking video game character.
We love that.
Rise, Son of Rome. I don't know if you've played that or not.
I haven't, but it's familiar.
So I made this character based off of a little bit of the Roman folklore, like where we're going with it. Because in the game, Marius doesn't die. He might die, I guess. It's kind of unclear. He falls into a river. He might have drowned and died. He might have just washed up on the shore. I don't really know. But Damocles is abandoned by his generals and he dies. And a vengeful spirit brings him back to wreak havoc on the empire and those generals and those who command them. And so that's kind of what I base my character off of. And I'm trying to follow that as best I can, but so far at least, I haven't really found a point where like that's gonna be able to play in. Like I'm gonna have to figure something out to be like a differentiator from that to fit our campaign, I think. And that's what I'm struggling with so far, is figuring out what class is going to best fit that. I want to envision how he would look. So I'm very much thinking paladin, running a tower shield and a longsword. But I still don't really know.
Sounds cool, though.
I'm excited. I'm super excited to do it.
Hell yeah. That's really what is important, that you are excited about what you're playing. Because if you're not excited about what you're playing, it just feels like a chore, and that sucks. Yeah. Especially when it's a hobby that we are all so passionate about. Like, it sucks when you're like, I hate this character. Wow. Like,
he doesn't hate his monk. He just, he wanted it's a good basis. Yeah. He's up for a change, which I am 100% game for. I have a great way to do so. We've talked about it a little bit.
It's exciting.
Little sneak peek for all that do listen. Not a whole lot, but we do have some. We have more than we used to, but slowly. Honestly, I would love to play a campaign where I actually get to play a player. I mean, it doesn't even have to be long, but I would love to truly play the one build that I've built myself.
Which one is that?
It's only a level 5, but it's a level 5 tiefling bard variant. Variant tiefling bard word of eloquence. College of Eloquence. I just want to play a character.
We lost a toast.
We lost him. Well, any other questions for me or so. Toast? No?
I think that was great.
Well, I guess we'll see if he rises from the dead. Oh, there he is. He did.
What the fuck?
And that is the mood. You're so right.
What'd you do?
I didn't do anything. I was responding to an email.
So you were doing something.
And then I went, and it was game over. Fuck.
Those are two of the sound effects I make when I send work emails.
Minor.
Yeah. Damn, you don't send work emails. You just take the horseshoe off and put it back on.
You don't know.
I don't know anything. Pigeon. I'm just a humble servant.
I lurk in your dreams.
I wish you did.
No, I don't lurk in those dreams. Well, I think this was a great chat. Thank you, Ivy.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
If you want to, we would love for you to plug yourself. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, absolutely. Most of the times at the moment, I'm the Crit Awards account, as nominations are ongoing and our award show is ongoing. Every other time, you can find me as Gamer the Girl all across the internet. I do TikTok, I do Instagram, I do everything. So it just depends on the day of the week of where you find me. I'll be on stream over with Just the Human, raising money for TTRPGs and like rights. So if you're interested in watching me play something that isn't D&D, we're going to play something else. So you can come over there and watch me. It's going to be great. I think it is a GM-less game that we're playing. We're playing Firebrand. So if you're interested in listening to Firebrand, that's a lot of fun. DM Steve is our quote-unquote facilitator. That's where it's a GM-less game.
Facilitator.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be great. That's me.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on our show. Thank you for dealing with our chaos.
Yeah, happy to. Anytime.
It's caffeinated chaos. Well caffeinated.
It's well caffeinated chaos that we'll meet at the Maverick.
Yes. Maverick only. Get one of the big ass.
The Red Bulls are too expensive. It's too expensive. It's expensive.
I'm getting icy. I don't care about you guys.
ICs. Icy with Red Bull. That's what I did all the time.
No, you bro. Pour I need the Red a Bull. Take me you back to 7-Eleven, bro.
You get the watermelon Red Bull in with the blue icy.
I don't fuck with watermelon Red Bull.
No, you're in our neck of the woods now.
I like yellow flavor.
Welcome to the jungle, baby.
Welcome to the jungle. It's Wyoming. It's only sagebrush.
It's just a bunch of
more than that.
Dirt.
It's a desert. Like,
welcome to the jungle.
But not a fun desert either. Like, you don't want to be here, really.
It's not really a desert. It's high plains. It's what it is. It's classified as high plains.
Okay, Mr. Bioengineer Scientist Man.
And those were the technical terms. You're so right.
And
you're?
That's why I'm the DM.
Yeah, I'm yeah.
Well,
I'm a simple man.
Thank you all for listening. Please do come back to this fucking chaos. That's what we are. We're fucking chaos. We can't be anything but it. But you can find us on our social media, on Instagram, on Blue Sky, and we are on almost, I think, almost all podcast streaming services. I don't know which ones I'm not. I do know we're on Audible, which is, I didn't know that was possible, but we are.
I didn't know we could get on Audible. That's fire. Check us out on Audible, baby.
Check us out on Audible. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you come back, because it's not getting any better.
It ain't getting...